Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship this morning. We are so glad to have you. There's three sections again. That's exciting to see. Yeah, I see some thumbs up and some awesome signs. Old habits die hard, so. All of you are welcome here today. Your physical self, your spiritual self, your emotional, your intellectual self, your cultural, your ethnic, your racial, your ancestral self, your social self, your political self, the academic part of you, your economic self. Whether you're weary, excited, fearful, uneasy, enthusiastic, all of that in yourself is welcome here today. So leave nothing at the door. All of you is needed, included, and welcome here. We welcome everybody joining us on Zoom. Thank you for coming in today. We welcome you, whether you're joining us, if it's as usual or if it's been a while. On Zoom, you are encouraged to use the chat to engage with the service as you're inclined. We also have two adjacent services downstairs where you can view the live stream of today's service. We encourage newcomers to enjoy the sanctuary and regular attendees to give those streaming services in the coffee room in Forest Hall a try for service this morning. Although we have room in the sanctuary as well. Visitors are invited to fill out a card located in the back of your seat to request contact or share interest. And we ask everyone to silence their cell phones. Starting us out this morning, I'd like to invite Ange up to announce the recipient of our donation.
Good morning. My name is Ange. My pronouns are she, her. So this week's basket is being donated to the Good Neighbor Center. This is a center that empowers our families in experiencing housing insecurity by providing shelter, resources, and support for lasting stability. Here at WOOP, we have a group who joins together on the third Tuesday of every month to cook a delicious meal for these families. And we're always looking for more volunteers, especially those who speak Spanish. Paisley and I had the opportunity to go on our first round, and it was amazing. We had a great experience. We were able to feed many of the families there, some who had multiple children, some even had newborns. And what we heard was that they really, really love this place, that they are so thankful, and that they're even going to be going back to volunteer once they're established in the community. So we would like to welcome your support, and hopefully you can maybe join us there to cook meal or maybe just financially help, but either way, we hope that you can help us support the Good Neighbor Center. Thank you.
Thank you, Ange. Yes, the Good Neighbor Center has a multitude of ways that you can support them, and so I encourage you to check their website out. If there is one thing for sure, WOOP is built from a congregation that is dynamic, robust, and thoughtful, making this time of ultra-informed strategic planning in our community a glimmer of light, a flaming chalice, and better yet, a bonfire in this world that threatens darkness and isolation. Let there be light. Today's service, brought to you by Dan Boyce, will feature the findings and recommendations of your strategic planning task force, which will be voted on at the June 8th annual meeting. They have been working hard all year and have come up with four overarching goals and 11 major objectives to work on over the next 5 years. Today, you are all invited and encouraged to stay after the service, when members of the board and strategic planning task force will be hosting tables downstairs for informal conversation, to collect your feedback on special topics, and to provide opportunities for you to be involved in the next action steps. So please stay after for coffee hour and then a little longer to sit with those groups. And without further ado, let's greet each other. And as we take half a minute to stand and greet each other this morning, and share with the people around you in one or two words what your favorite volunteer job is. Rise and greet each other for a half a minute here. As we come back to attention, carry on these conversations in the coffee room. We are going to sing a song together now.
Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What?
Now we'll start again. Light our chalice this morning. We light this flame to ignite the sacred power of justice. We light this flame so that it may be a beacon of hope. In moments of uncertainty, fear, anxiety, and the unknown, we light this flame and are emboldened by its blaze. Knowing our strength as a prophetic and powerful people is rooted in the diverse ways we answer the call to love. Thank you. As share in our affirmation.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
Our opening reading is from Steve Crump, who is the minister emeritus of the Unitarian Church of Baton Rouge. He wrote this piece titled, "We Are a Living Congregation." Living congregations have problems. Dying congregations don't. Living congregations make lots of noise. Dying congregations are peaceful as tombs. Living congregations look to the future for new ways to serve. Dying congregations look to the past for old ways to be secure. Living congregations are full of unfamiliar faces. In dying congregations, everyone has known everyone for years. Living congregations say, "We'll find a way." Dying congregations say, "We can't do that." Living congregations talk about money, life, death, love, birth, anger, and the weather. Dying congregations talk about the weather.
And I believe we have a song now for All That Is Our Life.
No?
Okay. Then we have Time for All Ages, brought to us by Izzy. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The children have gathered. My name is Izzy. I'm the DRE here at WOOF. And today we're going to read a story called What Do You Do With an Idea? Sounds like some of these kids got a lot of ideas right now. One day I had an idea. Where did it come from? Why is it here? I wondered, what do you do with an idea? At first, I didn't think much of it. It seemed kind of strange and fragile. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just walked away from it. I acted like it didn't even belong to me. But it followed me. I worried about what other people would think. What would people say about my idea? So I kept it to myself. I hid it away, and I didn't talk about it. I tried to act like everything was the same as it was before my idea showed up. But there was something magical about my idea. I had to admit, it felt better and happier when it was around. It wanted food. It wanted to play. Actually, it wanted a lot of attention. It grew bigger, and we became friends. I showed it to other people. Even though I was afraid of what they might say, I was afraid that if people saw it, they would laugh. I was afraid they would think it was silly. Many of them did. They said it was no good. They said it was too weird. They said it was a waste of time and that it would never become anything. And at first, I believed them. I actually thought about giving up on my idea. I almost listened to them. But then I realized, what do they know? This is my idea. No one knows it like I do. And it's okay if it's different and weird and maybe a little bit crazy. I decided to protect it, to care for it. I fed it good food. I worked with it, I played with it, but most of all, I gave it my attention. My idea grew and grew, and so did my love for it. I built it a new house, one with an open roof where it could look at the stars, a place where it could be safe to dream. I liked being with my idea. It made me feel more alive, like I could do anything. It encouraged me to think big and then to think bigger. It shared its secrets with me. It showed me how to walk on my hands because it's good to have the ability to see things differently. I couldn't imagine my life without it. And then something amazing happened. My idea changed right before my eyes. It spread its wings, took flight, and burst into the sky. I don't know how to describe it, but it went from being here to being everywhere. It wasn't just a part of me. It was now a part of everything. And then I realized what you do with an idea. You change the world. Yay. Yeah, it's a very cute story. It's very good. One of the things that has been so important to me becoming the director of religious education for the kids and some of the adults here at WOOF is listening to their ideas and what they want out of this community. And in 2 weeks we'll have our next youth group meeting or youth council meeting in 2 weeks. That is just a really important time when the kids all get to be together and they get to talk about their ideas and how to implement them here at WOOF so that they can feel just a little bit more involved and part of our community and have their voices be heard. So I'm looking forward to that. It's always fun to hear what they have to say. I mean, you can see that they are just adorable, creative people. So, all right, kids, if you want to file down the aisles, I think everybody here is going to sing you to your classrooms.
John Riles, and I've been a member of WOOF for 39 years. That was 1986 when I joined. And this morning I'm going to talk about strategic planning, a brief history. I share a brief. In my review of WOOF's history, I found that starting in 1991, there have been six cycles of strategic planning. Most of these planning cycles included a survey of the members about what they highly valued and what they wanted to see improved at WOOF. The results of the surveys provided direction for planning and organizing action that led to many upgrades and improvements at WOOF. For example, expanding the entry to the sanctuary, adding a minister, and much, much more. Upgrades were made possible by the strong commitment and follow through of many of us in WOOF's community. When asked in a 2008 planning survey, 96 members voted yes to calling a quarter-time minister. 35 voted no, and 3 abstained. Wolf had been without a minister for several years, and in my view, Tracy exceeded our expectations such that we voted to increase her employment to full-time. Our current member-guided strategic planning, of which today is a part, speaks to such things as relieving overcrowding and upgrading how we integrate new members. But I think that we may find that our steadfast commitment to achieving our goals and objectives will enrich our community in ways beyond what we currently can foresee.
Hello, I'm Bob MacArthur, and I've been here at WOOF for the last 5 years. Last program year, coordinated by John Riles, a visioning task force met to develop a new vision statement for our congregation. Vision statements are basically summary, concise statements of aspirations. What are we going to do over the next 5 years? Where do we see ourselves going? In 3 or 4 sentences. Our conversations with members of the congregation that led to the development of this statement indicated that we needed to stress the importance of our community, the stewardship of our buildings and grounds, the importance of expanding our social justice activities, and living and exhibiting our UU principles and values. At the congregational meeting last June, our vision statement was approved. Here it is, and is now on our website. In the process of developing this statement, bringing it to the congregation, we said, our work is really only the beginning. Next step, strategic planning, and details will matter.
Thanks, Bob. I'm Dan Boyce, a member of this congregation also for 5 years. After the visioning of last year, incoming board president Karen Stratton buttonholed me at a coffee hour, as she sometimes does, in the late spring and asked if I'd head up a strategic planning process on how to better realize the vision of this congregation over the next 5 years. It's been a while since we've done such planning, and we are in many ways a very different congregation than we were in that pre-COVID era. As John noted, we're now blessed with a full-time minister, and we have a larger, more active congregation. It feels very much like we're at a critical inflection point in the development of this congregation. It seems evident from the overcrowded sanctuary in most weeks and the overcrowded overflowing parking lot, and from the sheer energy that we feel emanating from our ranks, that we're meeting a critical need at this time for many people. We want to maintain those aspects of WOOF that are precious to many of us, while at the same time welcoming all those who are coming through our doors. The world needs us now more than ever. After accepting Karen's request, my first task was to find committee members. I was most fortunate to find folks with a wealth of experience, sharp insight, and great expertise to offer. Our committee consists of John Riles, Christine Leffler, Bob MacArthur, James Wright, Hillary Greenebaum, Gary Joaquin, and Rick Tangeman, and myself. Also, Reverend Tracy and Karen Stratton both attended many meetings and guided us with their wisdom and direction. In our first meetings last summer, we did the standard strategic planning exercise of a SWOT analysis, reviewing our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, SWOT. And we were off and running to discover WOOF's 5-year goals and objectives, which you'll hear about shortly.
Thank you. Pema Chodron, Buddhist monk, teacher, and author, reminds us that deep down in the human spirit, there is a reservoir of courage. It is always available, always waiting to be discovered. As we now practice, now have the practice of offering gratitude and giving, may we reflect on the gifts we have received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit of family and community, to consider what it is we have given and what it is that we're grateful for. Please consider the gifts you have to offer the WOOF community, whether financial support or the special gift of your time or talent. Know that we are grateful for your offering. Have an affirmation. Let us be grateful
when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we learn from the generosity of others.
My name is Gary Joquin. I've been a member of WOOF for about 5 years, common number here. And my wife Elise and I have been UUs for over 40. Whenever a team like ours endeavors to write a strategic plan, it becomes very important to know our community. It had been several years since WOOF had conducted a congregational survey, so as many of you know, we conducted one last fall. 101 members and friends responded anonymously to 31 questions, 26 of which were presented in both multiple choice and open text formats. Overall, we collected 815 comments. Our goal was to learn about how our community felt about a number of things, including Sunday services, our music program, religious education, etc. Significant findings included, across all demographics, 95% of respondents indicated agreement that WOOF has high value. Over 90% of respondents agreed that WOOF was doing well and was headed in the right direction. 92% of respondents agreed that growth and membership at WOOF was a good idea. And despite high praise for members actively engaged in maintaining buildings and grounds, shortcomings were noted in how well our existing buildings and grounds supported our community. You can read the survey summary reports that we prepared last fall, as well as the raw survey data that you provided via the QR code in your order of service this morning. These survey results help to guide the strategic planning goals and objectives developed by our team, and we continue to seek validation of this work, as Hillary is about to tell you.
Good morning. My name is Hillary Greenebaum, and I've been a member since 2018 and currently serve on the board. Back on March 2nd, the Strategic Task Force invited the community for lunch and conversation following the kickoff to the stewardship season. The idea was to ask people to talk about our short and long-term future. There were three questions for in-person and Zoom-facilitated small group discussions. Number one, what are the benefits of welcoming more people to our congregation? Number two, what are the most effective methods for attracting and welcoming new members? And number three, what is it that encourages people to engage and stay in our conversation? Also, what has helped you to engage and stay? And what, if anything, have you found off-putting or difficult? Some groups also discuss the feasibility of a second service. Each group was facilitated and had a designated note taker. Comments were collected and can be read in their entirety. Please note the QR code previously mentioned in the order of service if you want to read those comments. All of these comments are so important. We want to understand what everyone thinks, wants, and needs as we move forward in this process of visioning, surveying, and creating a strategic, practical plan forward for the next 5 years. As was mentioned by Ashley and John earlier, today, right after the service, there'll be another important but more informal opportunity to provide your feedback and ideas. Please note that we have group soup, and we have fruit and cookies and all sorts of yummy things so we don't get peckish. Our team will be hosting 5 stations, 3 in the coffee room and 2 more in Forest Hall, to learn what you think about the strategic planning goals and objectives, which we will share with you shortly. It will be a drop-by and chat type format and go on as long as you have comments for us. Importantly, each of the 5 stations downstairs will be particularly focused. Number 1, current overcrowding, including parking. Number 2, member welcoming support and engagement. Number 3, buildings and grounds. Number 4, safety and security. Number 5, religious education enhancement. We ask that you stop by, and we hope that you'll join in our future efforts to improve our collective lives in any way that interests you. There's plenty of need and opportunity for each of us to help with the implementation of this plan. As the saying goes, many hands make light work.
Coming out of the winter is no joke. Some carry grief and burden from what transpired or what did not flourish during that quiet, dark time. Some may fear its passing, as with the warmth comes yard work, scorching sun, chapped lips. Coming into the light of spring is a deep breath of bouquet for some, and nothing but allergies for others. Whether you bring your burden or your splendor, we can hold it here with you. Instead of making the walk today, as is our tradition, to drop a stone in the water, the water represents the community of compassion that bears all the sorrows, and the water also represents the community of celebration that shares all the joys. I will drop a single stone to represent all of these. You are welcome to come drop your own stone after the service if you are so inclined. But this morning, after a brief silence, a beat of reflection, we welcome you to call out your joy or sorrow into the space this morning instead of walking the aisles. And you can do that yourself after the service.
Growing, the river is flowing, and
The important work and congregational input that Hillary just described laid the foundation for our work. We started writing. I've seen many strategic plans over my working life, and my experience is that short and concise is more effective than long and overly detailed. So we boiled all this down to 4 goals and 11 objectives that we will be sharing with you today. These goals and objectives have been refined, parsed, reworded, updated, redrafted, and reformulated time and again in the past months based upon the feedback we received. Sausage is not always easy to make. So here are the 4 overarching goals that we formulated. Goal number 1, welcome more members into our congregation. This is the most urgent or pressing of the 4 goals as we are acting on this in real time. As I mentioned earlier, people are coming through our doors, and we can either welcome them or turn them away. The congregational survey clearly indicated that we want to welcome them despite the many challenges this raises for us. Goal number 2, attract, engage, and retain members. This goal requires us to be a vibrant community and congregation with multiple avenues to connect people to our congregation. And for the right reasons, because they are finding here the community they seek that speaks to their hearts and minds. Goal number 3, look for opportunities to become more visible and known in the wider community through activities promoting UU values and principles. This involves walking our talk and not hiding our light under a bushel barrel. However, in these times, higher visibility also carries some risk and requires greater vigilance than we may have been used to in the past. And goal number 4, provide the staff and volunteer support needed to carry out the mission and vision of this congregation. We need commitment and all hands on deck to implement this multifaceted plan. We encourage your involvement in some way, large or small, to make this happen.
The first goal of our strategic plan is to welcome more members into our congregation. 3 objectives emerge to support this goal. The first one is to study the adequacy of existing spaces to support on-site events for a larger congregation. Rick Tangeman and I will lead a team that will inventory existing buildings and spaces, document the programs and activities in which we currently engage, as well as our aspirations for future engagement. We'll analyze how well existing buildings and spaces meet program and activity needs, identify gaps where needs are not being met, and recommend improvements. The second objective is to evaluate the advantages and obstacles of moving to 2 services per week and determine if and when the overflow in Forest Hall is either outgrown or is deemed less attractive than holding 2 services. This exercise is currently underway. To relieve overcrowding on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, the audiovisual team has already purchased and installed an 86-inch flat-screen TV, new speakers, and an amplifier in Forest Hall that can blow the roof off. A team is already forming to study the feasibility of conducting a second Sunday service. The third objective is to design a plan to relieve parking congestion on Sunday mornings. Some work has already begun on this objective. Last July, prior to parking lot restriping, I performed a study to confirm that no further parking spaces could be obtained from making spaces smaller. They're already small enough. This fall, a parking committee will be assembled to study parking in greater depth, including evaluating and prioritizing the numerous recommendations that we have already received to improve parking and implement innovative commuter options. And we will welcome ideas outside of the lot.
As someone closely involved with welcoming and hospitality, as well as shepherding people toward a path towards membership, goal number two is near and dear to my heart. We often talk about how to attract, engage, and retain members. This does take resources, time, and energy. If you're interested in getting more involved, please reach out to Annie or myself. We'll be downstairs after the service in the coffee room. Please come talk with us. We'll have a poster that outlines some action items, and hopefully you'll have some ideas to share as well. We want to learn from you. We are growing. Just in 2025, we have 20 new members to WOOF. It's pretty amazing. And have another new member dedication scheduled June 1st, 2025. To recap, goal number two, attract, engage, and retain members. Objectives include seamlessly integrate newcomers into our congregation. However, please note that our intention is always to support current and long-term members as we concurrently welcome new members and thus widen our circle. Number two, enhance the ways in which we engage current members and friends in meaningful congregational WOOF, congregational work and activities at WOOF. And number three, regularly survey congregants in areas that will be helpful to WOOF's leadership in their planning.
Third planning goal, become more visible and known in the wider community through activities promoting UU values and principles. In order to do this, we need to better promote our activities here at WOOF. We need to increase opportunities for all of us to engage in work on social justice. And we need to take seriously, the safety and security concerns that becoming more visible will require. We'll need dedicated groups to work on these topics, on social justice together with our already existing great social justice group, a group to work on promotion and publicity, and a group to work on safety and security. So there'll be lots of opportunities to help out. John and I will be downstairs in Forest Hall after the service. If you want to talk about safety and security, please come by.
Hi, I'm Rick Tangeman. I've been a member for over 30 years. As someone who does a little bit of volunteering here at WOOF, I'm focused on Goal 4 and provides the staff and volunteer support needed to carry out the mission and vision of the congregation. To effectively support WOOF's mission and vision, it's essential to assess staff needs and resources every year. This process begins by evaluating current ministry goals, understanding staffing requirements, and identifying any gaps or resource overloads. Regular assessment ensures that staffing levels align with the congregation's evolving needs, enabling more efficient allocation of time, energy, and budget. And this one's particularly important, regularly assessing volunteer needs and responsibilities that can also help reduce frustration and prevent burnout. As part of this annual review, the board and personnel committee will work with the minister to assess the performance and contributions of paid staff. Job descriptions will be updated to ensure they are clear and relevant. Each staff member will receive a thorough performance review, providing an opportunity to discuss accomplishments, challenges, and future goals. Feedback from supervisors, peers, and volunteers will be gathered to provide a comprehensive view of each staff member's role. In addition, professional development plans will be created for each staff member. These plans will set clear goals, address skill gaps, and offer growth opportunities that align with both personal and organizational objectives.
So, there you have our proposed four goals and 11 objectives. If adopted at the annual meeting on June 8th, the plan goes to the board, who will oversee its implementation. Beyond these goals and objectives, though, our task force thought it important to give some direction as to how each objective might be achieved. Benjamin Franklin remarked, "Well done is better than well said." As a result, we supported each objective with a number of sample action items to consider. To give a sense of the scope of the detail in these action items, the goals and objectives that you just heard about easily fit on one page, but the full strategic plan with the sample action items runs 7 pages. Understand, though, that we couch these as sample action items because they're not prescriptive and can be adopted or not by those working on each objective in the future. They will come up with their own list of action items, but our suggestions will hopefully help them move the process along. For anyone interested, that level of detail is available through the link online in the QR code in your order of service. All that being said, at the annual meeting, WOLF's membership will be voting on adopting specifically just the goals and objectives we've presented today. The sample action items are supplemental to the plan and are purely advisory in nature. Lastly, I want to invite and encourage your involvement and commitment to the process over the coming months and years. Lao Tzu said the following wise words: "Be careful of your intentions. They become your actions. Be careful of your actions. Done regularly, they become your habits. Be careful of your habits, for they become your character. And be careful of your character, for it becomes your destiny." And so may our intentions become our destiny. As I said earlier, we're at an inflection point in our congregation and in society where your involvement can make a huge difference. Please join us in helping to meet this moment.
Next steps. Well, next we're going to go downstairs to the coffee room. Get your soup, snacks, and beverage, then go to the strategic planning topic station that appeals to you most. There you will have opportunities not only to share about today's topics, but more importantly, to sign up and say how you want to be part of planning and taking action to make WOLF an even better place. So far, the Strategic Planning Committee has listened to the congregation and created the goals and objectives. Dan said next step will be to vote on adopting the goals and objectives at the annual business meeting on June the 8th. Then the next stage in planning will be to define action plans for the objectives. That is work that needs to be done by you, the folks that have information about, experience with, and especially care about what gets changed around here. Some of the actions don't need much more planning and don't cost all that much. Sunday service overflow meeting in Forest Hall already is happening. Yay team, and come and try it out. But some things take a lot more planning and buy-in from the congregation, and it will take years to finish. For best results, we need all of us to be involved. The more participants, the better the outcome.
Thank you all so much. And our special music collective is going to give us some beautiful sound now, "Draw the Circle Wide" by Gordon Light. As we have kindled this flame, may it spark in each of us connection and commitment to this living tradition and to each other. Thank you all for being here today. And then we'll sing Carry the Flame. In the front stands to face the back.